Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joe House writes for The Ringer. He's a gambling expert. He's a sports expert. He is a man of many, many means, and not a bad golfer either. He is on with us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Joe House, at House from DC on X on Twitter. I saw that you retweeted, or you tweeted out a picture of Steph Curry with a beautiful golf swing and wrote Steph Curry tomorrow. That was ugly last night. By the way, that golf swing he's got does not resemble yours or mine. That's for sure.
Kevin, thank you very much for suggesting that I'm not a bad golfer. You and I might have a different, you know, experience with that. But yeah, that was at the beginning of the fourth quarter. In that Sacramento Golden State game last night, and there was just nothing about that Golden State performance that looked like they were going to survive that game.
They struggled so much to score. It was a miracle that they were down four at the half. I actually took Sacramento on the second half. I watching it, I felt like it was way too hard for Golden State to score, way too easy for Sacramento to score. I didn't intend, actually, Joe, to start with the NBA. We will get to Joe's thoughts on what Washington should do in the draft next week. But just on Golden State, is that it? Is that the end?
I think so, yes. I don't see a pathway for them to improve. The only guys they have under contract that are really worth keeping are Draymond and Steph. They have to figure out a way to work Kuminga in, but they have a talent problem, which is to say they don't have enough talent, which a kind of a crazy observation to make with Steph Curry on the team, but we got a max Steph Curry effort this entire season, and it came at a price. He was exhausted the last 2 weeks, and he was exhausted in that game against Sacramento, and that's not a sustainable path, especially as the Western Conference has gotten so much more competitive. So I think Golden State, one of the things I did with some of my friends, I said, which team's futures would you prefer to have over the next 5 years? Washington, Detroit, or Golden State?
Next 5 years? I mean, Steph looked old. You said tired. Steph looked tired. Chris Paul looked just flat out old. And Klay Thompson looked shot, as in done.
I agree. I mean, you know, what is the pathway for Klay? Re-sign with Golden State so that this core can go out, you know, sort of together at some bargain basement price. Chris Paul's got a non-guaranteed $30 million contract. I assume they're going to try and turn that into an asset. Obviously, the future question was kind of a joke, but both Washington and Detroit have a legit shot at Cooper Flagg in next year's draft, and he is the next transcendent player on the horizon. So those are franchises I think have a leg up on Golden State in terms of ability to get better quicker.
Yeah, Cooper Flagg next year, and then one of the Boozer sons in 2026. So hopefully a couple of swings at, you know, that transcendent player, which the organization hasn't had in a long time. We'll have plenty of time to talk about number two in June's draft, but I do want to talk about number two in next week's draft. But before that, Joe, And most of the people listening, I'm assuming if you were watching anything last night, you were watching the Caps. I was watching both. But Zion Williamson's performance last night against the Lakers, it was unbelievable. And then he leaves with 3 minutes to go. It looks like hamstring tightness. Guy just cannot stay healthy. But I thought they were on the verge of winning that game. They'd come from 18 down, as you know. I'm sure you watched it to win it. Is he going to play Friday night? What do you know about that injury? And I thought he needed to get back out on the floor unless he was missing an actual limb.
So we must have been living in the same text threads, because this was exactly the idea that was going around the circles. Where is Zion? And it is by far his best season as a professional. By far the most games played in a season. And that game last night was a reminder of what kind of a talent he is. Like, the Lakers are no joke defensively, and they pose a real challenge to the Pelicans. They beat them 5 straight times in New Orleans going into last night, and Zion almost single-handedly dragged the Pelicans across the goal line. It was that injury that changed the game, and you know, the report said that he walked out of the stadium last night without a limp, but we haven't heard any updates today. I assume they're taking every single measure possible to get that hamstring into some kind of shape, including, you know, maybe a trip abroad to find some foreign substances to bring to the table. I mean, you got to have the guy Friday if you're hoping to make the playoff.
Yeah, he was legitimately uncheckable there in the fourth quarter. I mean, he is so strong, Joe. You can't stay in front of him, and then you can't stop him from finishing around the rim. And you would think for a guy that, you know, you'd just leave alone. We'll play underneath every screen. We will sit back. We'll sit back in zone. We'll make him shoot. It doesn't matter. Any defense you throw at him, he can get to the rim.
And more impressively, for at least to me, it was against Anthony Davis, a first-team all-defense guy, a guy that's going to make second-team all-NBA. I mean, that's the thing that really catches your eye, catches your attention, reminds you of what kind of talent Zion is.
I hope he is available to play Sacramento on Friday night. That would be a good game. We'll talk NBA playoffs maybe in a bit, but let's get to football and the draft. So I don't think we've talked about this. Tell me who you want them to draft at number 2.
I have been going back and forth, and I will say whoever they select, I'll be happy with, as long as it's not J.J. McCarthy. That's the only guy that I you know, based on all of what we've seen and all of the sort of analysis that's going into this, I don't want J.J. McCarthy. But if it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, I'll be happy. My preference at the moment is Drake May. And the reason for that is there's a handful of reasons. First of all, he's comfortable with the air raid offense. Cliff Kingsbury is going to implement air raid. My guy Drake played in that before. Secondly, he, you know, if you believe these metrics, these invented metrics that have come up for the scouting and evaluation, and as you know from doing the show daily, This scouting thing is art. It's not science. But if you believe the invented metric that describes how quickly guys make decisions and get rid of the ball and make the right decision, Drake scores a little bit higher than Jaden. But the real clincher for me is I can't unsee RG3, right? We're old enough to have lived through the entire RG3 experience. And what a talent, and what an athlete, and couldn't really play in the NFL because he wasn't physically able to do so. And that's really the concern for me with Jaden Daniels. Some of the hits that Jaden Daniels took last year at the college level were concerning. Those are catastrophic hits in the NFL, potentially, right? And I'm rooting for nothing but the best for Jaden Daniels. And if he's the quarterback of Washington, I'll be happy with it. But it doesn't seem like Drake May takes those kinds of hits. And so that's why my preference is in the direction of Drake May.
Yeah, I think the RG3 conversation is an interesting one. You know, their body types, I guess, are somewhat similar. They're Heisman Trophy winners. They're Heisman Trophy winners in part because they were incredible dual threat quarterbacks, you know, at Baylor and LSU, respectively. I just see a guy in Daniels that has just much better processing, reading defenses, you know, a true pocket passer at times, and as a runner, a guy that doesn't have straight line vision but has good peripheral vision. Griffin never saw where it was coming from because he wasn't that type of athlete. I think Jaden is, but I'm also a big fan of Daniels, and maybe am seeing, you know, a little bit about what I want to see. But I just, the RG3, you're not the only one. There's so many people out there that have comped him to RG3, and I see a different quarterback. I actually see a quarterback that is going to succeed in the pocket right from day one. And Mike and Kyle knew and told Bruce and Dan, this guy's going to have to play football differently. We're going to have to invent something here at the NFL level, you know, with the pistol formation and running read option to have any sort of success, because he's just so unpolished and not advanced as a passer. I think Daniels is there as a passer.
I like that observation, and I don't have any quibble with that whatsoever. I mean, you do recall accurately that RG3 was not accurate from the pocket. I'm just sort of commenting on, you know, part of the skill set is that ability to get out of platform, to get going, you know, to the sidelines, yeah, and get going in a way that keeps defenses off balance. And I'm worried about, you know, his fortitude ultimately.
So is your preference for May more about your concerns with Daniels, or what is it about May that you really like?
I think that the comps that are out there that he could become Justin Herbert, you know, have kind of a ring of truthiness to them. And again, we're splitting hairs. Like, you know, yeah, you're asking for like a preference. The one thing I will say, as a dabbler in the gambling arts, which I know you are, the odds right now are completely out of whack. The odds are -300 for Jaden Daniels to go in the two spot, and Drake May is +220. The implied probability of Jaden Daniels is 75%. That's crazy. So, you know, as a value
why do you think
play,
that's crazy? You think they're not sure yet?
Yes, that is what I think. I think they're not sure yet. That level of certainty, it doesn't match up with what I think is the reality on the ground.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, if you're a believer that they're not sure yet, you can get some good numbers and good prices on May and McCarthy if you're interested, and maybe even Penix Jr., but not at number two overall. That would be a trade back. So we're talking to Joe House from The Ringer. Joe's a D.C. guy, is a big fan of all of the teams. I'm with you on McCarthy. It's not that I don't like him. It's that I just didn't see a first-round pick when I watched Michigan quarterbacking their team. What don't you like about McCarthy, or why would you be upset if they took McCarthy at two?
Just that very, very proposition, just what you observed there. He's fine, but he's not the number two overall pick. You're not getting any value at number two for that. If you trade number two and get a whole bunch of picks out of it and move back and take him in the second round, that's fine. I don't have any quibble with that, but I got to see that guy a ton. We all got to see that guy a ton because Michigan was featured
every
so
week.
Often. Right. So I didn't see anything that suggested to me that he is a franchise-altering quarterback. I think he's perfectly fine. Big guy, strong guy, capable, good decision maker, but not you know, somebody that you could say here's a top 10 quarterback over the next 10 years.
Yeah, I feel the same way, but there are a lot of cut-ups out there because everybody's doing them. And there are a couple when I've watched McCarthy, I'm like, oh, I see it. Like, I see his arm strength. You know, Cooley did a film breakdown for me on Daniels and McCarthy. He's going to do one on May and Penix Jr. as well. And he's like, God, this McCarthy, he can really throw the football. He's got a gun. He can make every throw, and he, you know, has good feel, and he's good in the pocket. He's good outside the pocket. But we just didn't have to see him carry a team at any point. Like, Daniels, you know, the irony of Daniels, May, and Caleb Williams, Joe, is that all three of them played on three of the worst defensive teams in America. And so every week they had to carry their team. So we got to see, you know, it's all on the quarterback. It's all on the offense with those three. And we never saw that with McCarthy.
Totally agree. And that turned out to be very good comps for trying to, you know, choose between ultimately May and Daniels, because there's never been any reason, from my perspective, to move off of Caleb as number one. And I've given up hope that there is some pathway for Washington to come up with a package attractive enough to Chicago to get to Caleb. Should I give up hope? I have given up hope. Should I give up hope?
On what, Caleb? Yeah. I think so. I think that's a done deal. What is he, minus 8,000 to go number one?
Probably. I haven't even looked. That's how much of a lock he is to go to Chicago. So
I don't know if you followed this last night. You know, we had hockey going on. We had the NBA playoffs going on. But Washington, in these final 2 days of these top 30 visits, have brought in just a lot of players, including Daniels, McCarthy, May, and Penix Jr. They went to Top Golf last night, reportedly. They had dinner together. Their meetings were yesterday and today. It's an unusual way to do it, apparently, except for in San Francisco, where Adam Peters comes from. But I just did, you know, two segments of calls asking callers, does it suggest anything to you that 8 days before the draft, they've got all these guys, all four of these quarterbacks in for their top 30 visits? They're putting them together. They're meeting with them separately. Now, there was some guy that follows everybody that comes, you know, stars and athletes that land at Dulles, and he said Quinn was there to pick up Daniels, but nobody else got a ride from anybody in the organization. But in all seriousness, I actually think that is serious. Does it indicate anything to you? Like, they're not sure. They don't know. Or maybe with Penix Jr. there, they're getting some crazy offers to move back. Does that say anything to you, the way that they're doing it here at the end?
Kevin, what it indicates to me is, for the first time in 25 years, we have an adult organization, adult decision makers, and folks who understand how to process this current version of the NFL in the most shrewd way possible. It cost them absolutely nothing to get this very inexpensive scouting mission and scouting reports up close and personal, in real life scouting reports on all of those guys all at once. And those all go in the file because they're going to be playing against several of those guys in the upcoming 2 years, 5 years, possibly, you know, 8 to 10 years. So it's very possible to me that the team has a very strong preference at this point in terms of quarterback, but why not have everybody come in all at once and see what they look like and how they think and how they talk? It's free scouting. It costs the team nothing. And all those guys are willing to come? Yes, it's brilliant. I love it. This Adam Peters experience so far, A++, Kevin.
Well, that was going to be my next question is, so we're now, you know, basically 4 months, 3.5 months into Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Josh Harris's first true, you know, season as the owner of the football team, because, you know, when he took over, it was late summer, he couldn't really do anything. So it sounds to me like you feel really good about everything right now.
Well, the number one reason why I feel really good right now is because I have no idea who the team's going to take at number two.
Yeah.
The way that they played it. Now, I expressed to you a little bit of consternation around the coaching decision because the perception was that the team got somebody that wasn't their top choice. Now, I know that there are facts out there and that you yourself were tracking this on this very show, that Dan Quinn was always considered highly and was always, you know, at the top of the rankings for the team and that the team didn't settle. But the perception is that the team settled. So I was a little concerned about that. But that's not, you know, the end of the road. You know, we're at the very beginning of this experience. And the way that I've seen the team proceed in terms of this process in trying to come up with the talent, what they did with free agency, all of that good value, kind of second tier, block building, position building kind of talent. I thought it was an A+ at the free agency market, and I really like the way they're conducting their business in this draft run-up.
Yeah, you know, Joe, it was a couple of weeks ago, I think I asked everybody that was and felt like you did, you know, at the time that Dan Quinn was hired, do you feel any differently now when you look at the coaches that they were able to attract for their staff? You look at some of the players in free agency, you know, specifically guys like Wagner and, you know, Armstrong and Luvu and Biotish, et cetera. Do you feel any different that maybe they got it right? They got the guy that had credibility around the league, and it really helped him, you know, bring a lot of good people, at least on paper, into the organization. So it sounds to me like what you were just saying is that you've seen something there that makes you a little bit, you know, feel a little bit differently about Quinn.
Yeah, I mean, all of that experience post-hiring has been good. It's just that missed opportunity at the very outset of this decision-making regime's introduction to the team, the fan base, the first big public decision left the perception that, you know, they didn't get what they wanted. But everything that's followed in terms of exactly what you just described, all of the assistant coaches, the talent that they've been able to pluck from around the league, and Dan's own very high standing with Dallas. We got Dallas coaches and Dallas players that I think are going to make meaningful contributions to this Washington franchise this upcoming season.
Joe House from The Ringer joining us. All right, I do want to switch back because we won't have a chance to talk before the NBA playoffs begin on Saturday. I think the West is as exciting going into a postseason as we've seen in years. Let's start in the East. If I told you that somebody really pushed Boston to like a seventh and deciding game, who did it? In you know, if you fast forward to the end of this thing.
Potentially, right here in this very first round, the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Sixers, because we have the Sixers and the Heat playing tonight, so we'll find out who the seventh seed will be. But I think that whichever team, you know, loses between the Sixers and the Heat will handle either the Hawks or the Bulls. That's not going to be much of a contest. But if it turns out that Philly beats Miami tonight, and then the Heat take care of business on Friday, then Heat Celtics in round one is an all-timer. Now, my good pal, the sports guy Bill Simmons, has been poo-pooing this version of Miami because this version of Miami hasn't been able to score. They don't really have three-point shooting threat. But I keep reminding him this is almost identical to the version of Miami that arrived in the playoffs this time last year and immediately took out the Bucks in five games. Now, Giannis was hurt, yes, but the big turnaround for Miami was all of a sudden the whole team all at once became a very proficient three-point shooting team. So I think there's a legit possibility that Philly would be a test also just because of Joel, but I don't think that Joel is going to be able to make it all the way through even one playoff series. I mean, he came out of the Friday night game twice with different kind of leg discomfort. I'm not sure why it is that Philly brought him back this season in the first place, but the answer to your question to me is the Heat.
Who's got the most pressure on them in the West to get to the NBA Finals?
Oh, wow. I don't know that there is... Go ahead.
Probably I was going to say, I think there are a couple of teams that... I think that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, they better get something done here, and it's going to be a very difficult first-round matchup against Dallas, who played so well down the stretch. And I think there's a lot of pressure on Kevin Durant.
Yeah. So those are the answers. It's the Suns and the Clippers, for sure, that have the most pressure. I think that this Clippers-Dallas first-round matchup could be an all-timer because you mentioned that the stretch that Dallas has been on post-trade deadline, their acquisitions of Daniel Gafford, Washington's own,
right.
And P.J. Washington, they've been able to really turn those into a defensive identity for that team that it didn't possess before the trade deadline. But you're right. The Suns have gone all in with this Durant, Beal, Booker threesome, and
Beal's playing well too, Joe. He's been playing well.
It's the most minutes he's played in 10 years.
Yeah,
he's played the most.
I don't know about 10, but yes.
No, I'm telling you, you can look it up. Look at the minutes
really?
That he played this season. You have to go all the way back to 2014.
So, who comes out of the West?
Denver. If they're healthy, Denver.
Yeah. The Lakers are in, and they're going to play Denver. I don't give them much of a chance in that series, do you?
If Jamal Murray's healthy, and they had him on minutes restrictions, then the answer is no. It's a very good matchup for the Lakers until there's 3 minutes left in the game. Because they don't have an answer for the Joker. The Joker, he's the difference. He's the MVP of the league. He's the best player in the world. And when we're in those clutch minutes, he's the difference, and the Lakers don't have an answer. It doesn't make the Lakers unique in that respect. No team has an answer for that, but it's just a tough matchup for the Lakers. I think it'll be competitive, but at the end of the day, Denver with the Joker gets it done.
All right, one last one. Of the two young teams, or the two new teams at the top in the Western Conference, OKC and Minnesota, don't tell me who goes further because matchups mean everything. Which is the better team?
I think it's Minnesota. And the reason is the combination of veteran presence to go along with the youth. Oklahoma City made a curious decision at the trade deadline, in my humble opinion. Their only addition in terms of any kind of veteran presence was Gordon Hayward, who isn't exactly established himself as a leader of men. But perfectly fine guy, but... I don't know about him, instilling a veteran sense, a veteran presence, a guy that can show up with rings on his fingers. And Oklahoma City still needs size. And they didn't do anything about that at the trade deadline. I like the way that Minnesota can play. They're inside and outside. They have size at every position, and they physically can match up with Denver.
Thanks for doing this. Always appreciate it. Hope you're well. I'll see you soon. Thanks, Joe.
Hopefully on the golf course. I can't wait.
Yeah,
Kevin.
Let's do it soon for sure.
Thank you.
Joe House, everybody. At House from D.C. He does a great job with The Ringer, with Bill Simmons, all those guys there. You can follow him at House from D.C. on X on Twitter. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980, TheTeam980.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Penix from the pocket, spins free. Trying to mirror Kate Williams' creativity, launches the end zone, caught! No signal, did he hold it? Yes! Devin caught the tight end! Penix creates some magic! How did he come down? How did he find him down there in the end zone?
And that was Chris Fowler on the call. That was the national semifinal game against Texas, where Michael Penix Jr. was outstanding in that game. He threw for 430 yards against Texas's defense, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, and was 29 of 39 in the game. They won that game 37-31, and then they lost the national championship game 34-13. So I wanted to read something that I got after our first hour of the show. It comes from Paul. Paul writes, Kevin, I'm in, okay, on your trade back with Minnesota. Penix Jr., with talent around him, we contend sooner and longer than with May, low floor, Daniels, high injury probability. Thank you, Paul, very much for that. I didn't say that that's what I wanted. I want them to draft Jaden Daniels. I actually think that's what they're going to do as we sit here 8 days before. I'm not putting any money on Drake May, which has a good price, or J.J. McCarthy, an outstanding price to be the number two pick in the draft. I'm not wagering on anything as it relates to draft choices, but I think they're going to draft Jaden Daniels. I do. I think everything out there kind of leads me to believe that Adam Peters and Dan Quinn will come to the conclusion that many have, and that is that Jaden Daniels is the second best quarterback in the draft. But what I suggested earlier, Paul, was, do they have all these quarterbacks in town, with Penix Jr. included on these top 30 visits, because they wanted to see Penix Jr. as much as they wanted to see anybody else one last time. You know, up close, standing next to Jaden Daniels, standing next to Drake May, standing next to J.J. McCarthy, interacting with these guys. What kind of guy is he? What kind of leader is he? Because maybe they're getting ridiculous trade offers from Minnesota, from Vegas, from Denver, maybe from the Giants, and Penix Jr. would be there potentially at those numbers in terms of draft slots, and they could pick up Minnesota's first 2 picks in the first round, 11 and 23 overall, and then pick up their first rounder next year, the year after, and who knows, maybe throw in a second. Maybe the offers are so outrageous to move up nine spots. I don't even know if that was even an outrageous offer. I think it would be, right? Two firsts or four firsts overall, three net firsts because you're swapping, you know, that first one at 11 with number two. You pick up, I threw in Justin Jefferson. That's not happening. But if you threw in, you know, a couple of other, you know, seconds, thirds from this draft or next year's draft, and you could get a guy that you really, really liked in Penix Jr., I'd be okay with it. It's not what I prefer. I'm going to be okay, I think, with anything they do. I just would be really surprised if J.J. McCarthy is the second pick in the draft. Like, if they traded back and got McCarthy, traded back and got Penix Jr., I'm going to be on board. I'm feeling pretty good about this group so far. I feel very good about Dan Quinn. I actually feel very good about Dan Quinn. We'll see on everybody else. But I wanted to talk about Michael Penix Jr. for a little bit because I think he's the one that a lot of people who are either just getting involved in following the draft or have been for a while but didn't watch a lot of college football, most of you have focused on May Daniels and maybe to a lesser degree McCarthy. But Michael Penix Jr. has been climbing, you know, in the eyes of a lot of scouts and in the eyes of a lot of evaluators. I mentioned the piece that Jeremy Fowler did yesterday, and we went through what a lot of scouts and front office execs were saying on the condition of anonymity about Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. But I never got to Penix Jr. First of all, for those that don't know, one of the biggest reason Michael Penix Jr. isn't considered to be or hasn't been considered a lock first round pick is because he's 24 years old and he's got a medical history in college. He had two ACL tears to his right knee that ended his 2018 and 2020 seasons at Rutgers. Before he went to Washington. The 2020 season, keep in mind, was, right, the COVID season, which was a shortened season. He only played in 2020. He didn't play as many games that year. But he was at Indiana for basically 3.5 seasons and was injured in two of them and then transferred to Washington in 2022. He also had injuries to his non-throwing hand and non-throwing shoulder. That would have been his right hand and right shoulder because he is a lefty. But last 2 years, clean bill of health. And got a clean bill of health, by the way, at the combine. Independent approval on his knee, on his shoulder from independent specialists in those areas. He also really performed on his pro day in Seattle. He actually ran the 40 and ran, you know, right around 4.5 and even maybe one sub 4.5 in there as well, and showed great athleticism with a 37-inch vertical leap. I know none of this matters when it comes to quarterbacking, but it matters for people to see that he still has physical explosiveness. And so, look, ACLs are, we've seen, sometimes the knees come back even stronger. Now, he's had two of them. He's had some injuries, but not in the last 2 years. But there are some quotes in here about Penix Jr. that I think are interesting. This from an AFC executive. A lot will be determined by the medical evaluations by the teams, but I don't think that he is there in round two. Another one from another AFC exec. He's just solid at everything. He can get streaky, but he's a good decision maker who distributes the football well. If a guy's open, he's going to find him. That, to me, is his secret sauce. One NFL offensive coach thought Penix struggled at times throwing accurately to his left side, but is brilliant when throwing to his right. He will need to improve throwing from outside the pocket, where he completed just 38.5% of his throws, which ranked him 114th nationally. But that's nitpicky, said one exec, because of his enormous production, where much of it came in the pocket. Another exec about Penix Jr., just a very natural thrower. I thought he struggled to play in short and intermediate areas where precision is required in the NFL, though I think he can handle that. It's just that those windows are bigger in college, so we'll have to see him adjust when those windows shrink. And then one other exec said that he was exceptional in team interviews. That was actually according to multiple coaches. And then one more quote here from an AFC front office executive. There's a lot to like. He's like a good point guard with a plus arm. I wouldn't classify him as the type of player who will carry a team, but if he's got a good supporting cast, he can deliver the ball consistently. People get hung up on the left-handed thing, but that doesn't matter. So, Michael Penix Jr. in a trade back, yes or no? Would you vomit in your mouth, or would you say, hey, I'm totally on board with that? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. The comps that they give for him are Tua and Jordan Love. These are the most frequent comps for Michael Penix Jr. Those are pretty good comps. And the Tua comp is with a in parentheses with a better arm than Tua. I mean, if you knew you were getting Jordan Love, yeah, I'd trade back. I actually think there's another comp for Michael Penix Jr. I'll share that with you when we come back. But phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. I suggested that maybe one of the potential reasons for all these guys being in here on the eighth day is they've gotten some ridiculous trade offers, and Penix Jr. might be in play on a trade back. Now, that's not what I would predict. I'm predicting Jaden Daniels, number two overall. That's also my preference. But if that were in play, would you be okay with it? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Team 980, team980.com, theteam980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
What if they did trade back for a haul with Minnesota and they drafted Michael Penix Jr.? Would you be okay with that? 301-230-0980. I'm a Michael Penix Jr. fan. I've mentioned for months now, Caleb Williams would be my number one. Jaden Daniels is my two and Penix Jr. is three. I like Drake May. I like a lot about Drake May. So he would be four and it would be very close in there. And then McCarthy would be five for me. But Would you, if Washington got a tremendous offer from Minnesota, as an example, to move up from 11 to 2, would you take that offer knowing that you could get Penix Jr. at 11? For me, I love him because I think he processes very quickly. I think he sees things and is very smart. I think he throws a really good ball. I think he's more mobile than maybe he showed. They had an outstanding line. They had NFL receivers. They had a great back. Okay, so all of that benefited him, just like it benefited Caleb Williams in 2022 and Jaden Daniels in 2023. All right, so there's a lot there. But to me, he's a left-handed version almost of Jared Goff, but I think he's a little bit more mobile than Goff. He's a little shorter than Goff, so maybe he's a left-handed version of you-know-who. Maybe that's a better comp of Cousins. But I think Michael Penix Jr. has got a chance, and if you surrounded him with a really good team, I think it would be interesting. What do you think? 301-230-0980. We'll start with Doug in D.C. Doug, go ahead.
Oh,
Doug, you there?
I like Michael Penix. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now, Doug.
Yeah, so I like Michael Penix like you do. I just think with our team and what we've been through with quarterbacks and injury history, I don't think we have the luxury to just take that chance. Because, like I say, even though Michael Penix, he's been in the Pac-12 the last 2 years lighting it up, when he was in the Big Ten, he couldn't finish a season. I mean, you had two ACLs, two shoulders, and granted, one of those shoulder injuries was towards the end of the year, so he probably could have came back if it happened earlier. It's just, I don't think we could take that chance. I mean, we've been through too much with quarterbacks and injuries and going through three, four, five quarterbacks a year. We just can't do it. You know, we can't do it. Like I said, he's a good quarterback. I just don't think we have the luxury in even thinking about a guy.
Do you remember, though, some of those games he started? I said Indiana. Do you know that some of those games that he started for Indiana, I said Rutgers earlier, they really played well in. I'm going back just to look. They won some games that they were big underdogs in with him as a starter.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He lit Michigan up. But if you notice, in that championship game against Michigan, he limped off the field. So he was getting lit up in that championship game, and he limped off the field. And he's going to be seeing defenses like that every week in the NFL. And I just don't think we can risk it.
Hey, in 2020, they beat Penn State. They beat Michigan. They lost to Ohio State 42-35, a game in which he threw for 491 and five touchdowns in. And the other thing, too, in a much better defensive conference, when he was healthy, big if, I know, he wasn't sacked in that league either. I mean, he didn't get sacked at all. He's five times in 2022, 11 times in 2023 at Washington. Thanks, Doug. Good call. Keith in Clinton. Keith, go ahead. Thanks for holding. And sorry I missed your last hour. Go ahead.
No problem. Quick question. I don't know a lot about Michael Penix. But let me ask you a question. If you're going to go with the pros and the cons on both of them, is it that much of a difference? If it's that much of a difference, Penix is way under. He's definitely number three.
I'm not doing it.
You're not going to do it?
No way.
No, you wouldn't do it either.
I need to feel like I'm getting a guy that I really like and was super, super close with the other guys.
Not going to do it. That's exactly what I'm saying. So I'm tired of trading our picks back, going back just to get more picks. And we're leaving the top, at least we assume, the top of the quality up there. I'm tired of doing that. I'm like, let's just go ahead and get the quarterback who we're like, you know, he has a lot of upside. He's really good. He can start right now, and we can roll from there. The other question that you had that I missed the first time, my lady said this. Think about this. What if they're courting all of these quarterbacks? We already know Jaden Daniels got the top class when they rolled him in, and everybody else came in the same way, but he came in special. So you're not going to bring him in special to let him just not choose him. But what if they're going to choose him, and we're going to do another RG3 and Kirk Cousins, maybe if we have the opportunity down the road with the quarterback.
But the Kirk Cousins was a fourth rounder. Penix isn't going to be there in the third or fourth round.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot.
It doesn't mean that they're not going to take Joe Milton in the fourth round.
That's what I'm thinking.
Or Sam Hartman in the sixth round. Yeah. No, I hear you. I mean, look, we've done it twice before. We did it in 94. We did it in 2012. Thanks for the call, Keith. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Alex in Rockville. Alex, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Kevin.
Sure,
you know, it would have to be a huge haul to go that way because, my thought is you need an elite quarterback to really, really get you over that hump and be a sustainable winner, win a Super Bowl. But with that being said, we have seen the teams, the Nick Foles with the Eagles. You know, Stafford is not really considered elite, not in my book. You know, Flacco did it. Manning 2.0, where if you have a stellar team around them, they can do it. I mean, Purdy almost did it. I don't think anybody thinks Purdy's elite. So, I'll do it if I have a huge haul. I mean, I would say three ones and a swap of ones. I'll do it. Other than that, I'd rather go for Daniels and see if Daniels becomes elite.
All right, thanks for the call. First of all, I do put Matt Stafford up in that top 10 range. You know, for much of his career, he was certainly around that area and was the difference for the Rams when they won the Super Bowl. Flacco played at a ridiculous level and certainly had the talent to play really big and played big in the moments, you know, more than maybe any other quarterback during that stretch during the postseason. He was a big-time performer. I think Foles is really the example, right? Foles is the one that won it and really wasn't, you know, Foles and Dilfer, and Dilfer is a different era of football. Your best chance to be a sustained over a five plus year period of time, winning double digit games, being in the tournament each year, and being a legitimate threat to win the whole thing is with a top level QB. Bobby in North Carolina. Bobby, would you trade back for Michael Penix Jr. if you got a haul from somebody like Minnesota?
Hey, Kev. Kevin, if they're analyzing these guys and it's real close between Daniels and Penix Jr. and they give you a big haul, brain trust think they can win with Penix Jr. and they get a big haul, yeah, I'd say do it because we all know of those top four or five guys, there's only probably going to be two of them at best that's going to make it. And who knows?
Right.
Penix Jr. might be the one, Kevin, you know. So, you know, if we get a big haul, you know, because we still got a lot of holes to fill on this roster, and, you know, do it. You know, if you think you can win with Penix, let's go for it, you know, and do it. Hey, a side note real quick. Maryland basketball the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, they're killing it.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Kevin Willard's killing it in the portal. They're going to be ranked preseason because of what they've kept and what they've added, no doubt.
Good day.
He had to, Bobby.
All right, brother. Good to talk to you, man.
Thanks, man. Hey, Robert in Annapolis, finish it up quickly for us. Let's go to Robert in Annapolis to let him in real quickly. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. If Washington or any team is sold on Michael Penix Jr., certainly the age and injury thing shouldn't dissuade them. I suspect that anybody would be willing to trade that number two pick for Joe Burrow. He's older. He's missed two of his four seasons, and you're paying him a lot of money. So,
yeah.
You know, if you
he has missed two out of the four seasons. True.
I mean, that's the way it is. They keep looking at it because he's coming into the league with this, but you got guys in the league that are already there. So,
yeah.
But here's the thing on this trade talk. Any of these quarterbacks certainly could be worthy of being the first, second, third, or whatever pick, but I don't think any of them would be worthy of three first rounds and a second and third and all that. I don't think any of them are.
We know it's desperation time for some of these teams, Robert. You know that.
Yep.
The promise, the idea, the allure of the guy that you have fallen in love with and pairing him with, you know, Justin Jefferson, signing him to a big deal, and TJ Hawkinson, and, you know, with a Kevin O'Connell, Mike Shanahan offense, they'll pay what it takes, I think, to get up there. Thanks. I got to run. I'm up against a hard break. Appreciate it. But good point about Joe Burrow, man. Basically, two of his four seasons have been cut completely short. Up next, Luke Easterling. He does draft evaluation for Athlon Sports. He'll be our guest.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.